It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the Honorable Doug LaMalfa. He's a farmer from Northern California and represents, could I say, the best district in the state, the first district?
You say that to all your interviewees, don't you?
Well, not all of them, but yeah. You do have really a unique part of the state. From forestry, I know rice is.
When you talk to somebody from elsewhere around the country, they don't expect that we have a part of the state that has what it does. They think it's all Disneyland, Hollywood, and beaches and such, and they don't know that there's 500,000 acres of rice grown, for example, in California. So, yes, we do have a unique situation with two volcanoes, timber, ag, the whole works. So, right.
Now, on the forestry side, you serve on that subcommittee for forestry and conservation. Recent hearing on that, and really had an opportunity to dig a little deeper into the work the Forest Service has done or has not done. But when you look at that hearing and how it went, what were some takeaways?
Well, we have great frustration the way the federal government manages the lands it's supposed to be in charge of, whether it's Forest Service or BLM, parks, even to an extent, Bureau of Reclamation owns some lands that isn't just water devoted. And so bottom line is that I know many people in the private sector that could do better, and if we can apply some private sector thinking to what the forest should have done, it'd be a lot better off health-wise, fire safe, and including economic, because for some reason the U.S. is the number two importer of wood of all Western countries, and yet we burn hundreds of thousands of acres, millions of acres every year in the West, and so it's really annoying. And so when I hear that the Forest Service has devised a 10-year plan, and we went over the number of acres. Forest Service has nearly 200 million acres under its purview, and their 10-year plan is to treat 20 million acres. Treat meaning, I guess, thinning and making it fire safe and getting some economic benefit from it. 20 million is 10% of 200 million, and over 10 years, that means 2 million per year. So that'll be a treatment rate of 1% per year. That'll take 100 years to get over it, okay? So that's not going to cut it. It doesn't cut it with the people in my district that have been burned out. We've had devastating fires in the Camp Fire, the Car Fire, the Dixie Fire, and others that, the Beckworth. There's a lot of smaller fires that don't get as much attention, but they're still destructive, and they take people's homes and ranches and habitat that is important across the board as well. So I'm looking for a Forest Service to kickstart what they're doing much more aggressively and, suffer the lawsuits. We need to quit kowtowing to the idea of a lawsuit coming from environmental groups saying, oh, no, you can't go in that, get that scorched, post-fire timber. It might disturb some species that likes burned-out forests, like maybe it's a certain type of woodpecker or something. We got hundreds of thousands of acres to cover, and it's just flat not reasonable. Yet we keep kowtowing to that. There's a situation down in New Mexico where there are some feral cattle, wild cattle, that were in a portion of a Forest Service area around the Gila River. And they hired sharpshooters and helicopters to go out and shoot those cattle, around 50 of them, because it was causing such an environmental problem, them being near a river. And this is a deal they cut with one of the environmental organizations. And so they paid a lot of money, and even though they assured people locally they weren't going to do it, then all of a sudden, last minute, they changed their mind, decided to go ahead and do it. So, and then you see photos of the cattle, like a big bull laying right in the middle of the river they're trying to protect, dead. So that makes me pretty angry that that's the kind of stuff that they're doing and prioritizing when we've got so much that needs to be done. And I still have towns in my district that are vulnerable. They're doing some pretty good work around some of them along the highways and such near a couple of the towns. But, when you see like what happened with the million-acre Dixie Fire last year, when the weather and wind conditions are such that they can't stop it. We need more buffers. We need more places to, you know, man a defense if a fire has come a long ways towards what we're trying to protect.
I wonder if sometimes the solutions that Congress offers up gets lost once it gets over to the regulatory side. And I want to use this as a segue to move to another issue that's affecting ag, maybe not in your district, but it's a lack of workforce. And I know that you've been pretty passionate about modernizing our workforce. What's happening on that front?
Well, you bounced off of a pretty important topic here, is that what Congress puts out in legislation, the regulators, the agencies in recent years have taken and respun those into something much more broad than what congressional intent ever was. With the Clean Water Act, the Clean Air Act, they're manipulating those to, they can, in my own district, basically tell landowners what they can or cannot do with their land, having little to do with anything with that might have a water quality effect. And so they're getting away with that, and we're pushing back. The lawsuits have been fought, and finally we saw a Supreme Court decision here recently where the EPA just got pushed back a little bit in its authority that it's trying to exert. And so we have to constantly ride on the agencies, especially under Democrat rule, the ones that really want to be aggressively towards waters of the United States, regulating every drop of water, every possible basin that can hold water for more than 6 hours after a rain. They somehow believe that's a water of the United States, or that's somehow, funny enough, navigable. Navigable what? By what, a rubber duck in your bathtub? No, I consider navigable maybe a riverboat like you would see going up and down the Sacramento River in the 1880s, you know? So it's ridiculous what they're trying to get away with until we in Congress can reel them in, or the courts rule more and more on this sort of thing, which the Supreme Court ruling the other day was pretty important. It's kind of narrow, but we want to keep building on that so that we have, you know, Congress is the one that's elected, not the courts, not the regulators. And so I know the executives put those in, the president or a governor at the state level, but they're not directly accountable to anybody once they're in power. And they need to be accountable to us. We need to have much more oversight around here, much more time spent on that. And so that's extremely frustrating, because sometimes I individually don't have the power to stop what my constituents are angry about. I'm as angry as they are with what goes on, because I'm a farmer in my real life too. So you mentioned also the labor force for agriculture, and it's been tough, especially on the more labor-intensive crops. They've been, you know, in agriculture begging us to get something done on that. And last two Congresses, we were able to move a pretty good bill called the Farm Workforce Modernization Act, which took a pretty good swing at getting a legal workforce in place and a process with which you can add more workers in a controlled fashion. You know, now some will say, oh, this is just to open the gateways to everybody can run in the country. And no, we already have that now. We have barely control over our borders. This doesn't contribute to that. This actually has more accountability for the workers that would come here or those that are already here. And so what we're working towards is that we're having a legal workforce that has accountability. And we realize, hey, you know, for many years, decades, people have been coming here illegally without the proper documents, either get fake documents or whatever. And we want to be able to have basically a way to have those good workers that farmers already know, already are vetted, and we would run them through a vetting process and make sure they don't have a criminal background and such, and have them become to a legal status. If they have somebody that can vouch for them and as they've already been working for them, let's say, then they can come to a legal status. They can pay some restitution, because they shouldn't just get free here. That's not a good signal to the people in the country that think obeying the law is important. But we have this problem that's government caused. You know, we've sent the signal, basically we're saying stay out, but we're waving them in, right, as a country. And so since we haven't had a clean process of immigration on that or some other aspects for a while, then this Farm Workforce Modernization Act works towards taking the already known good workers that might be here illegally getting them to a legal farm status. It doesn't automatically hand them citizenship either. There's a lot of concerns about that too. So it gets them to a work permit status. They can then work towards a green card and eventually, in time, apply for citizenship after they've demonstrated that they're the type of person that's going to obey the law and actually be the type we would want to become American citizen. By and large, these ag workers are good people, honorable people, and so let's get to a place where they can do that.
So good to see you. Thanks for your time. Come back and see us soon, will you?
Let us know when you're around. We'll do it.
Again, he's the Honorable Doug LaMalfa from the 1st Congressional District of California on today's Agribusiness Report.